by the shore one day of the beautiful murmuring sea. I saw the great crowds as they thronged the way of the stranger of I saw how the man who was blind from birth in a moment was made to see. The lame were made whole by the matchless skill of the stranger. Compassion, his words of love, they shall never forgotten be. When sin,
oh, what a song! What a song! I love that precious song, Oh, the Man of the Sea of Galilee. We'll share that later. Good to have you on the broadcast today. A brand new setup, and I hope it looks good to you, and I hope everything's fine. I think it is. It looks good on this end. That's all I can say. It looks good on this end. And God bless you. God bless you. Now, we have a great broadcast today. A great telecast. It really is. And I am most excited. I don't think I could be more excited about what we're going to talk about. As it was in the days of Noah. As it was in the days of Noah. Now, you know, when you begin to study and dig into a subject like this, and you go to your Bible and you find how real that blessed old book is and how everything is so perfectly in order. You don't have to worry about a bit of it. It's all in order. It's all perfect. It's all right down the line like it is supposed to be. God's book is a holy book. Now let's go to the book of St. Matthew. St. Matthew's, that's, of course, one of the great books of this Holy Scripture. And many people have been made to feel somewhat negative about Matthew 24. Well, I'm not one of them. Because I know the Bible is infallible, and I know Matthew 24 is talking to us Gentiles, just like it is the Jews. That's the big controversy, that Matthew is only for the Jewish world. Well, you know, God didn't say that, and so nobody else has a right to try to put words in God's mouth. Let's go, if we might, Matthew 24. Let me just read to you a little bit of this great scene. I mean, it really is wonderful. It really is. For as it was in the days of Noah before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the meal, the one shall be taken and the other left. Now listen, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Now, the Bible is clear that the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, is the foundation book. Everything in the Bible is built on top of Genesis. The Bible is the kind of book that builds on itself. You don't go to other places to find out what a verse means in Zephaniah or Revelation or back to Isaiah or forward to the book of Jude. You don't go some other source. You go to the Bible. The Bible interprets itself. That's why the Bible said very clearly that there is no private interpretation. When people try to come up with their own interpretation, they will always be wrong. They can never be right. The Bible interprets itself. And if you don't stay in the Bible to to get your interpretation, you're going to get a faulty interpretation. Do you hear me? That's a good warning, but I hope you'll take it serious. My email is full of people who have their own interpretation. They are determined that they know what's right, and that they have a right to say what's right, and they have a right to do what's right, and come up with their own interpretation, and it's always faulty. The Bible interprets itself. Let me say it like this. The Bible is built on itself. The Bible is built on itself. From the book of Matthew to the book of Revelation, 66 books, the Bible is built on itself. Now, Jesus, in the book of Matthew 24, reached back to Genesis 7 and reached forward to the book of Revelation, and you take any chapter in Revelation, and he pulled them together with one massive sweep when he said, as it was in the days of Noah, Genesis 7, as it shall be in the time of the coming of the Lord. It's a beautiful pattern, and it's a pattern you can believe upon. And I dare you to trust that pattern and see what happens in your biblical understanding of the Holy Book. Now, as it was, let's get the picture, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the time of the coming of the Lord. The pattern was set in Noah's day. The pattern was set in Noah's day. It was set in the experience that Noah had. And of course, the Bible was speaking specifically of the flood and of the deliverance of Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives and no doubt their children, because the scripture says to Noah, God speaking, come and bring all your house into the ark. And that would have included grandchildren if there were grandchildren. Now, the pattern is set right there in the book of Genesis. Let me take you there, and let's just take a moment, could we? And then we're going to open the lines, and you can call. We're going to have a great question and answer time. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Notice he said, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Now, the Bible named the three sons and their wives, but here he names all his house. So if he had grandchildren, they were certainly included. Of every clean beast, thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and the female, and of unclean beasts by two, the male and the female, of fowls also of the air by seven, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto the word of the Lord. Now, it's so wonderful to read all of this and see the beauty of it. Let me read you one more, verse 16. And they that went in were male and female of flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Now, the Lord didn't just shut a door. The Lord shut him in. The Lord put a covering over that entire ark, because you'll find later in chapter 18, verse 13, that Noah had to remove that covering when he come out and could not see a thing until the covering was removed. God had wrapped them up like they were a selling palace. That's what I call it, a selling palace. You'll see a picture on the material that I'm sending out to everyone today of this rendering of the ark that I really like. Three stories high, a massive, I mean, a palace-looking structure, and God put a covering over it to protect them from the elements and, of course, keep anybody from climbing up over the walls and trying to get up in the ark. God made it a literal cocoon. God made it a splendorous place, and God protected them all during that flood. Now, the story is breathtaking, because it sets the tone of what it's going to be like all down through the Bible at every time that God judges the wicked and God delivers the righteous. God judges the wicked and God delivers the righteous. It is never God's plan to judge the righteous with the wicked. Now, we suffer with wicked people in our world as it goes to pieces, becomes a wilderness. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about God's divine judgment. When God acts in judgment of a civilization, a culture, he does not treat the righteous in the same fashion he treats the wicked. Every time in this Bible that there was a deliverance of righteous people before the judgment, it followed the exact pattern of Noah's day. Because the Bible said, Jesus said it, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the time of the coming of the Lord. Now, come up with any question you want to ask about that, because I will do my level best to answer them. I'm here for that reason. I care about you. And we're going to go to several scriptures. Let's go to some scripture in Isaiah here in a moment. And we'll go to Zephaniah. We'll go to Malachi. We went to Matthew. We'll go to Revelation. The Bible is a beautiful book, and it lays it out step by step, pattern by pattern, beauty by beauty. God is never unfaithful. God is never unfaithful. Now, let me give you the phone numbers, 704-391-0588. I think I can put them up now. I was not able to do that. I don't want to cover my face too long, although it may need covering, but I want you to get the number, 704-391-0588, and then 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884, and then you see the email, jrc@paulcreek.org. I'm going to leave it a minute till you copy that down, okay? Get you a pencil and write that down and get it in front of you, and then come up with any question that's on your mind, and I think the Lord will help me to answer it, okay? Come up with any question on your mind, and I really believe the Lord will help me answer it, okay? I'm looking for your call, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588, toll-free, America, and anywhere in Canada, 1-800-338-7884, and anywhere in the world, jrc@paulcreek.org. Isn't that beautiful? Local, across America and Canada, and then all over the world, want to hear from you. And I want you to get ready, because that trumpet is about to sound. And the coming of the Lord is in the air. I preached this sermon last Sunday, these outlines I'm talking about today. I preached it at our retreat on Wednesday in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And I'm going to give it to you today on a CD as my gift. A CD copy of my sermon on this very subject I'm talking about. I believe it will affect your life. I really do. I believe it will affect your life. So grab a phone and call the ladies. Get ready to ask me any question on the phone. I take your calls right in here, and then email. I read them right off of the email. So all you got to do is send your email or call the numbers you need to call, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. And then in the great book of Zephaniah, the book of Isaiah, this Bible is one incredible book. It really is. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, I want to read you a scripture that says to us identically, what we just saw in the experience of Noah, because that's the pattern. It's all through the Bible. The dead men shall live together with my dead body. Shall they awake? Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, listen. Come, my people, enter thou into the chambers, and shut the door about thee. Hide thyself. Just like God hid them in the ark, now God says, come, my people, shut the door, come into the chambers, a hiding place. That ark was just a chamber. I've come up with so many things I like to call it, but it certainly was a palace, a sailing palace, a floating palace. It wasn't built like a ship with a pointed front, because they wasn't looking for speed. They were looking for safety, and God was going to take care of them. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chamber, shut the door about thee, hide thyself as it were for a little while, hide thyself as it were for a little while until the indignation be overpassed. Now, I got two calls already waiting on me, so I must go to the phones here. You are on the air. May I help you, please?
Yeah, good afternoon. You had a question about Noah, the flood. Was this flood, what, you think that was over the whole earth?
Absolutely. Oh, there are plenty of proofs that the flood was an earth-wide event. They have found even in the North Poles, animals that are animals that you would think of in Africa, and they were frozen in the ice. I mean, all kinds of things have been discovered, sir, to prove it was a worldwide flood.
Well, so you know, like Mount Arafat, they believe, like I know it's in Turkey, they believe they, I know by satellite picture they. Seems like there's a picture of an ark, but it's an ice.
There's a lot of people believe it's on the mountain there in Turkey, yes, Ararat Mountain. A lot of people believe it's up on that mountain. There are people looking for it. Some of them I know, like Randall Price and a great company of his friends are looking for it. They go once a year and climb the mountain in great danger. I don't know whether they'll find it. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. Won't change a thing. I believe the Bible, whether they ever find it or not.
Right, me too, yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, sir, and thank you for calling. God bless your heart. You on the air? May I help you, please? You are on the air. May I help you, please? Go quickly. Nobody there? On the air? I think I hit the wrong button. You in the air? On the air. Not in the air. Won't that be great? That was a good mistake. You in the air? You in the air? On the air. May I help you, please? Are you there? All right, he's not there. Call us quickly. We're available for anybody that will call us. We will do our best to be a blessing to you. You only. Nope, that's not it. All right, call us quickly now. Call us quickly. We want to be a blessing. Now, let me go back while I'm waiting on your calls. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. JRC@paulcreek.org. I'll go to the emails in a minute. I'm having to watch this new program I've got. Have you noticed that there's no delay any longer? Have you noticed that? That's all gone. New program. Everything looks wonderful. I think we're going to be so proud of it. I really do. Now, call us quickly. I'm here to be a blessing to you. That is my delight. My delight to be a blessing to you, okay? I don't know why I'm having that problem. It's probably me, would you say? I don't know. I can't get away from it. It will not quit on me. All right. You there, somebody? Somebody waiting on me? All right. Nobody's there. Well, now this is not fun, but it'll get all right, okay? Sometimes my phone just, you know how phones are. I don't know whether yours like that. Mine at home is making a mess. Now, let me take you back. Listen, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy door about thee. Hide thyself, as it were for a little moment, 7 years, a little moment. Hide thyself until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the earth, the inhabitants of the earth, for their iniquities. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Now you go to Isaiah 26, last three verses. 19, 20, 21. I'll take you to more in just a moment, because I'm telling you, friend, it's exciting what we are going to face any moment now. You on the air. I may help you, please.
Hey, Bro Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
All right. I just want to wish you a happy Reformation Day, and I want to get your thoughts on Martin Luther and the Reformation itself, and what's your thought on the biblical teaching of election and predestination?
Well, you know, I'm on today the great story of Noah, so I won't go deep into that, okay? If I get the subject off, I would like to stay on the subject before us. That helps people out there to get the message, see? And if we confuse the message with all kinds of subjects, then nobody gets anything much. So we're going to stay with the message, but I believe the Reformation was a marvelous beginning. I believe Martin Luther was a great man of God. History says that he was endowed with all the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Spoke in tongues, gave interpretation, had words of wisdom, saw miracles. History says that, and I believe it. I don't think there's any question. He was a great man. He did not get a full revelation of all the great truths of the Bible, but having been in the dark ages, I mean as dark as pits, as the pit of night, he came a long ways. And so I have nothing but great respect for what Martin Luther did, okay?
All right, have a great day.
And someday, let's talk about the Reformation and talk about the doctrine of election and those false doctrines, if I might call them. I believe in the right level of election, but you can take it too far. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir, Brother Chambers.
Yes.
This is Luke Beats from down East Texas way.
Okay, good to have you, sir.
Yes, sir. I just found you online just about a month ago, and I've been listening to about everything I can get as far as your sermons and your radio programs. I've really enjoyed it.
Is it good?
Oh, I love it. I love it. The stuff you teach, especially on the rapture, that's 100% the way I believe. And I've never heard anyone else really put it out there, teach it. I've never heard.
Why won't people preach these kind of truths?
I don't know why.
You know what I told our group Wednesday night at our retreat up in the mountains? And we had 100 and some. I told them no preacher has an excuse for not preaching prophecy. When God calls you to preach, he don't call you to preach a little bit of it. The Bible makes it plain. A minister is supposed to preach the whole counsel of God. That's the Bible now. That's the Bible words.
Right.
The whole counsel of God. If he don't preach revelation, he's not a man of God.
Right. I agree with you. My question real quick is on the topic about the end times. My question would be, from listening to you, like I said, I agree with what you say 100% about the rapture thing, but I have a quick question as to, I was reading some of your devotions, I believe, and it was talking about a partial rapture. And I hold to a partial rapture view, but I may be misunderstanding even the way I explain it. But like I said, I've had no teaching on it. I agree that not all Christians go in the rapture.
Well, you know, I don't ever believe in calling it a partial rapture. I believe everybody that's ready will go. Everybody that's ready. When the rapture takes place, the pre-trib rapture, people living godly and holy lives on fire, full of the Spirit. The Bible says about the 10 virgins, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. 5 went into the wedding, and 5 did not. Revelation 3, the Bible speaks of people who are neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. And he says, I'll spew them out of my mouth. There will be a multitude of church people who are either not saved, or they are so backslid that they're on the verge of having to say not saved, and they're going to miss the rapture. But there will be a great multitude that will get right with God after that pre-trib rapture, and they will be caught up in Revelation 7. And they're called the tribulation saints. They come up out of the great tribulation. And all you got to do is go to Revelation 7, and you got a picture of them. And it says that they come from all the nations and the kindreds and the different cultures of the world. And so there is a great multitude that will be raptured before the tribulation. There is then another number that will be raptured in the middle of the tribulation. And then you've got the 2 witnesses that are going to be caught up. And then you've got the Jewish people in chapter 14 of Revelation that's going to be caught up. So anybody that will read the book of Revelation and take it literal will see that there are times when God will catch up some of these later people who missed the rapture. I don't call those raptures. Because Jesus don't come down in the midair and meet them and rapture them up like he does at the pre-trib rapture. I just call them God's deliverance for people who get right after the tribulation begins.
Right.
So don't call them raptures because you give misunderstanding. Just preach the one rapture, the pre-trib rapture, and then show people that people after the rapture that get right with God will be delivered and caught up.
Right. So would it be better, because I'm trying to, I've never had any teaching on it, but I've studied and I've got what I believe from my studies. Would it be better, I believe A.W. Tozer and A.B. Simpson, they spoke of a, and Hudson Taylor spoke what they called the select bride rapture and the rapture of the first fruits. Would that be a better terminology?
I've never studied the part of the rapture of the first fruits. That is the rapture of the pre-trib rapture is the first fruits.
Yes.
And that's what they were saying. You know, even you go back in all the great people of the past, they was not into this cheap kind of rapture that most of the church world is preaching, that anybody that's ever walked down an aisle and named the name of Jesus and believed that he is truly the Son of God, that makes them ready for the rapture. That is not biblical. Jesus said unto them that look for him shall he appear. And also the Bible says he's coming after a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. So that pre-trib rapture is the people who are living godly, holy, surrendered lives and walking with Christ with all their heart, and they're going to go up in that great pre-trib rapture. The others will just have to be delivered according to the place at which they get themselves where they ought to be.
Hey, I appreciate your time, and I appreciate you helping me understand that and explaining that to me.
That really upsets a lot of people. People have been so preached to that you can live almost any way on the face of this earth you please, as long as you've named the name of Christ and you walk down an aisle, you've shook a preacher's hand, you've been baptized, and some of the different things that is involved. They just think you're ready for the rapture. Well, the Bible makes it plain that that is not true. Take the Bible and go by the Bible and don't go by anything else.
Yes, sir.
God bless you. Thank you for calling, my friend. Now, you are out there listening, and I want to hear from you. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. I'm going to put those numbers up for you again. I really want you to see these numbers and write them down. 704-391-0588, 1-800-338-7884, and jrc@paulcreek.org. Okay? It would be a delight to have a call from you. I promise you I'll do my best to answer it. And as you can see, I'll even go right out on the limb, wherever the Bible takes me, wherever the truth of the Word of God takes me, and I'll tell you what the Bible says. Because we live in a day when most people are very cheap in how they preach these great truths of God. And I'm not going to do it. I'm going to lay it to you straight and plain and faithful as well as I know how. Now, the lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. You're very important. Remember my free gift. My free gift, now a CD. This is a CD with a sermon that I preached last Sunday morning on in the days of Noah, in the time of, well, I can't even say it. Let me say it right here. As it was in the days of Noah. As it was in the days of Noah. I really do want to hear from you. Let me see if I can get this whole thing down here on minimize it. You know how that is. I want to go to the internet here and see if I can deal with you who have emailed me. Okay, let's have one here. The flood, Pastor Chambers. Do you believe the flood is the Old Testament example of when the Lord of what the Lord did? Does in the lives through Christ. Do I believe, wait a minute, the flood is the Old Testament example of what the Lord does in our lives through Christ? No, that has no similarity. I don't understand. What do you believe the flood is the Old Testament example of what the Lord does in our lives through Christ? Well, of course, the people that are delivered back then, Noah and his family, and the people who will be delivered in the future when the rapture, that is the work of Christ. That is the saving power of Christ. You can't save yourself. Good works won't get you ready to go in the rapture. All of your kind deeds won't get you ready. Pay your tithes, give all your money to the church, and you'll still miss the rapture if you're not born again. You've got to be born again. You've got to be a new person in Christ. You've got to be changed. You've got to be saved. You got to be saved. And then when you're born again, you got to live it. The Bible said, walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. I mean, all sin. Very, very important. And you're on the air. May I help you, please?
How you doing, Pastor Chambers?
Hey.
I want to go to the comparison between Noah's day and today, because they're similar according to the Bible. And during Noah's time, it says they were eating and drinking, marrying and being given into marriage. And so that's exactly what's going on now because of the same-sex marriage.
He's not just talking about the normal eating, the normal drinking, the normal marrying, the normal giving in marriage. He's talking about when all of that is made into a total fantasy of the flesh, a total abandonment of the flesh to live in nothing but a godless life.
Right, and that's exactly what's going on right now. They're eating and drinking, marrying, and being given into marriage, which is exactly what the same-sex marriage is.
Yes, I agree with you. And it's everywhere, George. It's everywhere. I'm amazed at how impossible it is to find in our churches, young couples that have got married. They just want to live together without being married.
That's right.
They don't know they're living like dogs under the porch. Mm-hmm. You remember that old statement, dogs under the porch?
Yeah.
People get so mad at me when I say those people are living like dogs under the porch. If you're living in a shacked up situation with a man or woman to whom you're not married, or if you're a fornicator in a homosexuality and lesbianism, you're living worse than dogs under the porch, because dogs under the porch don't even do those kind of things.
The other thing I like to mention is that it says that two men will be in the field, one will be taken, one will be left behind.
Yes.
Two women will be grinding corn, one will be taken, one will be left behind. The way to put it so that it moves the emotion and the heart is, we could say for today, two women will be shopping at Macy's, one will be taken, one will be left behind. Two men will be at the auto parts store, one will be taken, one will be left behind. And that puts a today reality on it.
No question, we're talking about people going about the normal activities of life. Mm-hmm. And suddenly, you're in a car, you got one of your dear friends with you, they've been living for God with all their heart, and they're trying to reach you, and suddenly Jesus comes, and you look over, and your friend is gone. Their clothes are laying there. Their shoes are in the floorboard. If they had on a hat, it has fallen down on top of the other clothes, and they're gone. Here's a man in the bed with his wife. He suddenly wakes up in the night with some strange feeling. He reaches over to touch his wife, and all he finds is a pile of clothes. She's gone. I'm telling you, it's going to happen, and it's going to happen any moment.
Yes, sir. Okay, thank you very much. I have one other point, but I'm taking up too much of your time, huh?
No, you go ahead, quickly.
Okay, the people that died in the flood basically are the ones that are going to be left here on this earth. Jesus went down to the parts of hell to deliver the gospel to the people that died in the flood, so that they could be saved if they chose Jesus Christ.
Now, it doesn't say to those who died in the flood. Those who died before the flood. Those people who died in the flood went to hell.
But
and they cannot be saved.
Okay, then I take it back. I'll have to check it out. Okay.
I'll check it out, because once to die, and after that, the judgment. The people Jesus went to preach to was believers. Okay. They were people who were living by the Old Testament laws and the Old Testament covenants.
Okay.
They were making the sacrifices that is required of Moses. They were doing the sacrifices that even Noah knew how to do in his day. Remember when the flood was over?
Yes.
The first thing Noah did was have a sacrifice, a worship time, and offered a sacrifice of the clean animals to God.
Right, right.
So he went down to preach to those who were right with God.
Okay, thank you. I apologize for making that other.
No. You don't apologize. We're learning, okay? I'm learning. You're learning. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Absolutely, man. I'm excited about this season.
Wait a minute now. Are you on the air?
I'm being 61 right now at this point of the season.
Oh, that's not mine, I guess. Maybe it was number two. What did he give me? Well, I can always know. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. Have any human artifacts?
You're yelling at me now. Try to say that a little softer and slower.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just got excited. Has any human artifacts or human fossils been discovered from the first world?
I don't know all that's been discovered, but no human people that I know of have been discovered. But they've discovered a lot of things that prove the earth was covered with water.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they felt like nails and parts of machinery and flatware.
You know, I cannot make out what you're saying, my dear lady, and I hate to not answer your question, but I just don't understand you good.
I'm sorry. Have they found like everyday objects, like in rock beds, like dishes and plates?
Yes, ma'am. They found a lot of fish, skeletons, a lot of things to prove it. And thank you so very much for calling, okay? God bless your heart. Now, give us a call, friend. I want to hear from you. And this is a great subject. It really is. And believe me, I'm getting more questions than I can hardly answer. And that's good. I got them waiting for me on the internet, and I may not get to them, and that'll be fine. But I want to tell you something. We are right now on the verge of the fulfillment of Noah's experience with the flood. I mean, we've got Isaiah. I'm going to take you to Zephaniah. I'm going to take you to Malachiah. I'm going to take you into the book of New Testament. The Bible is full of examples of exactly the kind of deliverance that happened in Noah's day. And the reason the Lord said as it was in Noah's day was because the way it happened, because the godlessness of the people made them unprepared, and they were destroyed, because no children went in that ark except Noah's children. Now you say, oh no, all the babies go. That is not biblical. You find one Bible verse that says a baby can go without a believing mother and dad. It is not possible. Believe me, it's not possible. Hey, I'm here to do my best to answer your question, and let me get back to this phone. You on the air. May I help you, please?
I wanted to share with you, I just got back from the Hollywood, Los Angeles area, and I was at Chick Publications, and I found a book in which your name was mentioned, a debate that you had back in 95 with on the John Ankerberg show involving the King James.
Okay, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, and I was I bought several books, and I'm familiar with the issue, and the people attending churches now do not realize how they have trivialized how serious and key the whole King James thing is. It's much deeper than what it's masquerading.
It really is. You've got churches in the NIV Bible and all of these new fancy versions, and the church is a reflection of their Bible. They are liberal. They live like the world. They don't believe in the rapture. The preachers don't have time to study the book of Revelation. In fact, they don't even believe in the book of Revelation. They've got into postmillennialism. They've got into reformed theologies. I mean, we've got a mess out there. And let me tell you what I said at the beginning of the program. The people who think they can interpret the Bible themselves are where the problem is. No man has a right to interpret anything in the Bible. The Bible is not to be interpreted. The Bible is to be believed. Believe. It is literal. It is plain. You don't try to interpret something and put your own swing on it. You just take the Bible as it states it. And that's what King James does. And that's what the New Versions does not.
And the more I studied on the plane back, and when I had a layover in another city, it just got better and better as I studied this, and I thought, you know, I said, it's hard. People are watching so much TV they're watching movies and listening to the radio and so on and so forth, and they can't hardly put together. They're just...
Isn't amazing? There was a film recently called Noah, something about Noah, and I don't see those things because I'm not interested in them. I want the Bible, and the Hollywood never produces something that's strictly straight as an arrow, fundamental biblical reality. You know, I've never heard of anything they've done that really stays with the Bible. It's the Bible or it's hell. It's just that simple. You got to believe this whole book. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. And that's what Jesus said.
Iron Fagan has been dead for half a century. He was he worked in Broadway. He worked in the movies. He was even an advisor to a presidential candidate back in the 20s. He said that every single Hollywood studio is wired to an international banking house. Movies are made for brainwash purposes. They're not made for the reason people think. We live in a totally controlled world.
We live in a world that is moving into secular humanism. And, of course, secular humanism goes straight into witchcraft and every form of criticism and neglect of the Bible. It is everywhere, my dear brother. And only a few people are willing to listen. And those listening to a program like this, you are hearing the straight truth. I don't know anything but the truth. I don't have any interpretations of the Bible. I just believe they're true and right and real. And a wayfaring man, though a fool, Isaiah said, shall not err therein.
Well, a great football commentator used to make a joke when somebody would drop a ball. He said, it hit him in a bad place, the hands. What's going to happen to a lot of people when they die? They're going to find out the Bible was true.
You know what? The Holy Spirit really spoke to me this week. We've got probably 50, probably more like 100 families that have been involved in this church in some way or another. And they got bugged at me because I wouldn't compromise, I wouldn't change. And I felt like the Holy Spirit showed me that the parking lot of this church will be so full after that rapture occurs of all these people coming to repent and to do their first works over and to make things right with the whoever's left. I'm not going to be here. I don't know who they're going to make it right with God. That's the only one they can make it right with. But there are millions of people like that all over the world. They get bugged at a preacher because he won't compromise. They get bugged at a preacher because he won't let down this and let down that. The biggest split I ever had was not allowing a Mary Kay party to be connected with this church. And I said, no way. You're not going to sell that stuff connected with our church. And I refused it and had the biggest split I've ever had. I'm telling you, we live in the day of compromise. That's all it is to it.
One day you're going to be so happy that the Lord didn't allow you to fall into that stuff.
Brother, I am not going to leave nothing but this Bible. I stay right in the lids. I love it. I preach Wednesday night up in Gatlinburg, and the Holy Spirit ever anointed me with fire better than I ever deserve. I don't deserve nothing, brother, but Jesus has been faithful to me.
I used to follow a lot of I know a lot about the Hollywood in the beginning days and everything, and as I was taking a tour with my granddaughter and her friend, I was looking at all those Beverly Hills homes and so forth, and I was sick, and I said, this is the most boring, wretched place. I have no interest in this stuff.
I have no interest. Thank you. I got to go. And God bless your sweetheart, okay? You on the air. May I help you, please? You on the air. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Brother Chambers, I've been on hold for a while, so I cut my radio off. And
I'm sorry, sir. You go ahead now.
You're talking about Noah.
Yes.
I got one question about Noah and his family there. After the flood, and he fell asleep drunk in the tent, and Ham came in to him, and he went out and talked to his brothers about what he'd done, and they went in backwards and covered their father's nakedness. Well, it says in Leviticus that to look upon your father's nakedness is to go with your father's wife. And then I noticed that Noah didn't curse Ham, but he cursed Canaan, which was Ham's fourth child.
Well, we cannot go into that today, because that is a big subject that takes a lot of study and a lot of explanation. But you live in that Bible, and you get ready for the rapture, okay?
Well, I'm going to do that, brother.
You do it and live for Him. He is the great Savior. Now, God bless you. Call us quickly, 1-800-338-7884, 704, 391-0588. And remember the email, jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, I'm giving today a CD of a sermon as it was in the days of Noah. I'm giving this because I have a passion for the literally millions across this globe who are not right with God, and nobody is preaching real truth to them. I get so amazed that people tell me I haven't heard a sermon on the rapture, and they will name how long it's been. These are people in supposed to be Pentecostal churches and supposed to be old-fashioned Baptist churches, and they never hear a sermon. The preacher never gets up there and tell them that lying is wrong, that fornicating is wrong. There was a big church in this city that some 2 years ago now had a baby dedication on Mother's Day, and there was about 30 couples dedicated their baby, and two of them were married. Two of them had the same names. The other 26, however many of the couples were shacking up together and dedicating their baby to the Lord. Now, the preacher that would dedicate a baby of two people living together and not tell them in front of the congregation, not in some quiet place somewhere, but right in front of them all. Now, young people, if you continue to live in this condition together, you're both going to lose your soul, because you cannot be a Christian and live together without marriage. You cannot be a Christian and live together without marriage, but that day has come. Until it blows my little mind. I'm sitting here saying, how did this happen? How did this come to pass? Well, it's quite amazing. Let me see what I've got here on the internet. You call me quickly now, 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. We're talking about Noah's Day. We're showing how the Noah's Day is exactly what we are seeing today. Let me go to Zephaniah. I really like this scripture. Zephaniah, little small book, you know. I believe it's got three chapters, and he talks about the great tribulation coming. And here's what he says, chapter 2, verse 3, Zephaniah. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgments. Seek righteousness. Listen to that. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. It may be ye shall be hid, H-I-D, hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Now, isn't that breathtaking? Isn't that breathtaking? Seek the right things of God. Let me read another. Malachiah. Chapter 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. Now listen. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them. I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Now, to show you that when he spares them, he takes them with him. Listen to the next verse. Then shall ye return. That means we go up in the rapture before the tribulation starts. Then at the end of the rapture, 7 years later, we come down with Jesus to fight the battle of Armageddon. Then shall ye return and shall discern between the righteous and the unrighteous. We are going to help him judge this earth. And then we're going to rule this earth with a rod of iron. We're going to set up his kingdom on this earth 1,000 years. And that could be just 7 years from today. If Jesus would come today, in approximately 7 years, we'll be back. Coming back with him riding white horses in Megiddo up north of Jerusalem. And then we will rule this earth for the kingdom of God with Christ, under Christ. Christ will be the King, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We'll be his great bride and rule this world in righteousness. And the Bible says that righteousness will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Now, I beg of you, I'm fixing to pray. But I beg of you to get right with God. You say, Brother Chambers, what have I got to do? Not one thing, but give your whole person to Christ and trust only in the shed blood of the cross, and repent of your sins and give him your life. Turn from your life, your former life, repent of your sins, believe and trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, make yourself wholly his, and you will be wholly saved. You will be a new creature. And within 2 minutes from now, you could be ready to go in the rapture. Within 2 minutes from now, you could be ready to go in the rapture. I wouldn't wait till the program is over. I'd fall on my knees right where I am. It is that close. Look at this world. Look at the mess. Look at our schools that are going into same-sex marriage and teaching homosexuality and lesbianism. Look at our schools opening their bathrooms to transgender children. The girls can go in the boys' room, the boys in the girls' room. All they got to do is say, I think I'm a girl instead of a boy. I think I'm a boy instead of a girl. And they're doing that all over America. Our world is going to hell so fast and going down so fast that you don't have much time. because the spirit of this stuff will get a hold of you, and you will be part of it. You go into a liberal church that won't preach the book of Revelation, you already are part of it. Now, listen, he said a book of remembrance are written. Let me tell you what I believe. I believe God has already got a list right now of everybody that's ready for the rapture. I believe that book of remembrance is a rapture-ready crowd that God's already written down in his book of the rapture event, and he's ready. If the rapture would take place today, nobody will have to be asked. God won't have to run around searching. He knows, and they'll be gone. They'll be gone in the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says. In the twinkling of an eye. Twink your eye and see how quick that change is going to take place. And you're going to be gone. Brother Chambers, sitting here. My suit's kind of nice. It's getting to be a little bit worn, but it's okay. New necktie. Joseph Gans from out in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, brought it to me Wednesday. It's beautiful. But those things are nothing. I'll have a brand new body. I'll be clothed in white. It'll be the righteousness of Christ. Hear me there? The righteousness of Christ. I don't get that just at the moment I go with Christ. I got that when the blood washed me and made me pure and made me holy. And it will just be amplified as I'm made into a new body and soar to meet the Lord in the air. Are you ready? Father, I pray for everybody listening to me or everybody that will hear this program in the archives. Everybody that may get a copy of it on a CD or a DVD, I pray for every one of them. I pray the blood of Jesus, or first the Holy Spirit, will touch their hearts and convict them, and they will realize they are a sinner. Every one of us were born in sin. Every one of us have sinned. Every one of us may sin again, but the blood of Jesus will wash you and cleanse you and make you holy, and he'll get you ready to go up in that rapture. Now, pray for that, Father. I pray right now, let conviction fall like a river. Let it fall upon hearts and lives everywhere. I'm believing you for that, Father. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I pray for souls, lost and dying men, unprepared. I pray for them. Father, by the Holy Spirit, change them and give them an experience called that new birth and make new creatures out of them and give them a heart for Christ and for God. I claim it, Father, in Jesus' name. And I pray for my nation, too. And I pray for the right political people elected in coming elections. God, help us. Somehow help us, God, and deliver us from these liberal people who would destroy our nation and would take away our spiritual rights. I pray for them that you will eliminate them, Father, and give us good people in Jesus' name. Oh, bless you, friend. Bless you. I tell you, I get animated doing these programs because I'm so happy to bring you the truth. I'm so happy to give it to you straight as an arrow. Remember, two shall be in the field, one shall be taken, one will be left. Two shall be in the bed, one shall be taken, and the other left. That's how it's going to be. Watch you, therefore, Jesus said, that you may be counted worthy. That you may be accounted worthy. He actually says those words. You say, oh, I'm worthy because I believed on Jesus 42 years ago. I haven't been living right, but I'm still, no, you're not ready. No, you're not. Don't you tell me that stuff. I'm warning you, get on your face, get your heart right with God. Make sure you're saved by the blood, and then make sure you live by this Bible. I don't have time to go to church. If you don't have time to go to church, you cannot say you've been born again. Oh, you don't have to go to church to be born again, but when you get born again, you'll want to go to church. They that be planted in the house of God, they that be planted in the house of God, the Bible says, they will serve him in the courts of the Lord. Oh, my friend, I want you planted in a good church where the Holy Ghost is real, where the Word of God is preached plain and simple. I want you to get ready. Now, the lines are open. Let's look at them. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. And then, remember, toll-free, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Now, I'm listening for you to call. I want to hear from you. I want your question. Let's spend these last 8 minutes right in the middle of the best possible questions about the coming of the Lord. Anything about Noah's Day? Anything about little children, whether they go or not. What does the Bible say? Let's look at the Bible. Grab your phone. The lines are all open, and you can order, of course, this wonderful CD. It really is a good sermon. Even though I preached it, God really helped me. I give him the credit, not me. And the title is, as it was in the days of Noah. It will be sent to you probably Tuesday. And you can have it to listen to this week. And you can get yourself educated on this Bible and what this great story of Noah really represents, and why Jesus said, now notice that, why Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the time of the coming of the Lord. He wasn't just talking about the sins. He was talking about the way that whole event occurred and how similar, how as an example, how it lays the foundation for what God is going to do all through this Bible. Never judges the righteous with the wicked. In fact, he actually judges us first, because that's what the rapture is. It's a kind of judgment where those that are ready to go, go, and those that are not ready to go, don't go. You can't call that anything but judgment. If you're ready, you're going. If you're not ready, you're not going. Somebody has to decide that, and I'm glad he does it. Not some man, not some preacher, not some busybody, not somebody who's a gossiper. God himself. God himself chooses those that are ready and chooses those that are not ready. Now grab your phone quickly. 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Email jrc@paulcreek.org. Here's one. Let's go to that. The Bible says, listen to this now. The Bible says the people are eating and drinking and giving in marriage. There's nothing wrong with that on the surface. So it wasn't the biggest sin that they simply lived their lives as though there is no God. Well, you're partially right. The whole business was they were marrying one and two and three and four. See, marrying and giving in marriage would indicate marriage, numerous times. If you don't like this gal, give her up and go get you another gal. If you don't like this this chum, give him up and go get you another chum. I was standing in a home over on Wilkerson Boulevard with a dear man who his third wife had just died. And he's standing there complaining about the kind of women he married and how miserable his marriages had been. And I looked him in the face and I said, Barry, let me ask you a question. Where did you meet those three women? And he thought a minute. He said, I met them all in the bar. I said, you got what you was looking for, so shut your mouth. You see, that's why I make enemies. I said, you got what you was looking for, so don't complain about your wives. You complain about yourself. If you went to the bar and found three different women that you married, what do you think you're supposed to get? You got what you was looking for. See? I mean, that's just how our society is. And we've got it. So giving in marriage is not just marrying a sweet woman, having a family, and living together. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about marrying and giving in marriage and same-sex marriage, marriage of lesbian to lesbian and homosexual to homosexual. He's talking about when the whole thing becomes wide open with no rules, no regulations, and no standards. The same with eating and drinking. And he's not just talking about drinking Coca-Colas and a glass of water. He's talking about drinking beer and wine and liquor and all the strong drinks that make you insane and make you do insane things. See, he's talking about things that is destroying this culture, destroying this society. Give us a call quickly. 1-800-338-7884. Hope I answered that good. I believe I did. You know, so much is happening. So much is taking place. I am amazed at it. I'm looking for others that may have emailed me, and I missed it. Sometimes I do. It's hard to get everything. Some of them may be in the junk department, and I'm not going to be able to find them if they are, but you call. We'd love to help you. Now, time is almost up. I care about you. Jesus is coming imminently. If you've not ordered this sermon, as it was in the days of Noah, please call these last minutes and right on into the next hour. We'll stay here as long as that phone rings. We'll stay here as long as that phone rings, okay? So call quickly. Call quickly. Let me take a call here. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yeah, Brother James.
Good. I don't have long, so go quickly.
Okay. Two things that the flood brought to our time is, you know, prior to the flood, we didn't have the rain like we have today. It was sort of a mist that would come up and water the earth.
Exactly.
And another thing, it brought the changing of the seasons. There were no changes of the season prior to the flood.
You're exactly right. The world is a totally different place. That needs to be a program all by itself, because it really transformed everything about this globe.
And one more thing to show you that it is like in the days of Noah. I heard this just this week on TV, that in this nation right now, there's approximately 104 million cases of venereal disease.
104 million cases of venereal disease. Almost half of the population.
Yes, a third of it. One-third of it.
Over one-third of the population have sexually transmitted diseases.
Yeah, I know.
Sexually transmitted diseases. Thank you, sir. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Pastor. I appreciate your program so much.
I'm delighted, sir.
It's a blessing. I just wanted to add, Pastor, about the rapture. What I read and just what I feel in my heart, the ones that will be taking part in the rapture, the ones that are looking for his coming, that are waiting.
I preach that all the time. Unto them that look for him shall he appear.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And those are the ones, there'll be many, they're going to church every week, but they're not really...
They never think about it unless somebody forces them to think about it. The preachers won't preach it. How about those preachers in churches that won't even preach it? You think they're ready?
Well, that's just it. They got to read the Bible for themselves. So
I got to go. I love you. I love you. Make sure you go back on the phone and order for my ladies, okay? I'm going to put you on hold, and they'll pick up ladies. Let me tell you, folks, it's almost over. It's almost over. I'm sorry, but I have to go here. I love this program. I really do. I am delighted to bring you things like this because I'm here to bless your life. I'm here to be a blessing to you. That's all I want to do, is I want to be a blessing to you. I want you to grow in the things of the Lord. I want Christ to flood your life. I want you to know him. And the man of Galilee, Jesus Christ, he'll save you and make a new creature out of you. Hey, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588, jrc@paulcreek.org. And I will see you next week, okay?
As they throng the way of the stranger. His hands and his riven sigh, and he whispered, "It was for thee, my burden fell, and the fears set me of the stranger." And I felt I could love him forever. So gracious and tender was he. I claimed him that day as my Savior.